Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 26th of November, just before the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, hooray.
It's kind of a late Thanksgiving.
Do you like the Thanksgiving holiday? I mean, is that like, you know, a big thing? Some people, it's a big thing for people, you know, it's, they're really into it.
I don't care. I think a lot of these things are fake. The my mother used to be the big Thanksgiving nut.
Hey, some people get really into it, you know what I mean? They stay cooked
for days.
She
would demand that everyone get together.
I'm having turducken.
I don't, you know, turducken, no one ever made turducken until John Madden came along.
It's very...
And I don't see the point of it.
If you don't make it right, by the way, there is no point. Because if you don't make it right, it's all dry and disgusting.
Oh, I would assume.
You know, because everything has to cook at... You know, the meat's cooked at a different level. Especially if dark meat, which is the duck inside, and then you have the white meat and all the other... And the, whatever. Anyway...
We cook heritage birds.
Maybe they come like... Maybe there's somebody that actually sells them like pre-traduckened.
Actually, there has I have seen that in the it frozen. Yeah,
you know,
somebody actually makes the turducken, pre-assembles it for you.
Oh, that's nice. That's very helpful because you got to debone it a little bit. And oh boy. Anyway, in terms of business, what happened last week? You weren't here. I wasn't here. We were in the Netherlands, and there was a big deal. The Iran deal happened. Yeehaw! Excited about that?
Yeah.
Really? What a bunch of hogwash, this Iran deal. We essentially give them back all their, or a chunk of the money that we were holding back, somewhere about $8 billion or something, on the word that, hey, they're going to slow down their deal. I mean, I don't get it. We give them it back before we get the proof that they've disassembled? Doesn't that really just hurt the whole process?
Well, it's better than bombing them, which is what the Israelis wanted to do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. But I just find this to be a real wimpy move into this whole deal, but oh well. So everybody was happy. The oil came down. Stocks went up.
And yeah, what are you complaining about?
No, it's great. It's terrific. Yen is dropping again. The taper talks from the Fed. You know, I think what the Fed's doing is they're trying to get us used to this whole idea. Yeah, we're going to taper, and then they say, oh, we're not really going to taper. We're going to taper. When it gets everybody kind of used to it before they really, you know, bang it in there. You know, not really. I think they're trying to get us used to the process here so we don't get overwhelmed when it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those, oh, we kind of warned you.
Yeah, exactly. So the dollar has been moving higher. The yen is down 5% in November. It's at 101 now. It was just at 96 or so, 97. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
What's the euro at?
Euro's 134.
Ugh.
130. I make that about 135.
135.70. My goodness.
Yep. And that's with them trying to drop it. You don't forget that Draghi came out with the commentary and the actual move to reduce the equivalent of the Fed funds rate by about 50%, 100% actually, from 50 basis points to 25. And then there was some information about possibly charging on deposits at the ECB, which would mean that the money that the banks held there as total safety and as a place that they can park lots and lots of money in the event they, you know, have excess reserves, they're going to all of a sudden charge, thereby making banks less likely to do so and putting more money on the street. So that was a little possible thing that was happening. But there's some action in the government this week. I just want to kind of go over this a little bit, and then we can go right to some stocks and some information on the economy. But it seems that there's a report that's saying that there's a lot of economic benefit from food stamps as millions of Americans prepare or to getting ready to do this Thanksgiving feast. And in this report that the Obama administration put out, he said that the food stamp program kept nearly 5 million people out of poverty in 2012. Now, I'm a little confused about something. You need to help me with this. I thought food stamps were for people that were in the poverty level. So the food stamps program kept people out of the poverty level? How does that work?
Well, I think the way they worded this was confusing. I think that's just poorly. I don't know what they're talking about.
I think it was expertly worded in a way that makes it look like that.
And they shouldn't even talk about poverty. They should rethink their way they present these things, and they should have said X number of people prevented from starving to death in the streets.
Right, much better. Much better. It stopped begging. It stopped people from cleaning your windshield with, you know, at street lights. You know, people sleeping outside, all that stuff.
Well, that'll all be coming back.
When's that coming back?
Well, they got the new mayor of New York, so he's one of his platform things is with the reintroduce the squeegee, license the squeegee guys.
You're going to have like a squeegee medallion.
Yeah, yeah, the squeegee medallion. Official squeegee guy.
That's going to be kind of interesting. I'm going to take the 1-888-888-SQUEEGEE. I remember that we used to go down the Bowery, and it was like, close the windows, lock the doors. The guys would spit on your windows and then kind of take their elbow and, you know, rub it to a point that you couldn't see.
They took a greasy rag, and if you didn't pay them before they got to your car,
yep,
it was like it was extortion.
Yeah, you couldn't see.
They just greased up your windows. They were unusable.
Anyway, so we're seeing that there's going to be that going on. Plus, there's going to be a crackdown on the widespread use of tax-exempt organizations for political campaigning. And basically, the whole idea of the Obama administration is to reduce the influential role that these quote-unquote secretive groups have played in recent elections. You would wonder, from a gent who just won an election and now is not up for re-election, why he's so concerned about these groups that have funded his election. Is it that maybe they're all of a sudden a lot more towards... And this is the same group, by the way, that was the focus of the IRS audits. And remember that whole thing that went on with the IRS?
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is.
Hmm.
So they're coming, you know, full circle back to this. I think that's pretty interesting. And we'll see what happens. I mean, but... It's an oddity, I think, because...
It's got something to do with Hillary, I'm telling you.
He doesn't want Hillary, you think? Or he wants Hillary?
Well, maybe he doesn't. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But it's got something to do with her. She's the one that's, you know, calling the shots now.
Can he be Secretary of State? Can they just switch roles?
I think it'd be great.
How great would that be, right? You just switch roles.
Nobody ever does that. It's funny.
Wait a minute. Can Bill Clinton be Secretary of State?
He could.
Yeah, that would be good.
You know.
I can't tell you how many people that I know that said that they would vote for Hillary just to get Bill back in the White House.
Oh, brother. Really? You and those Floridians.
It's us. It's all us. Yeah. Crazy Floridians. Stock market hits new highs. Lots of momentum after the approval of Janet Yellen, who is the next Bernanke. That seems like is already talking about how... Even if interest rates stay low, and even if we see no inflation, and even if we see this or that, that they're going to continue stimulus for a very long period of time.
Good.
So that's all exciting. And as that happens, we're seeing that the PE of the S&P 500 has hit about 17, which is getting up there a bit.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, it's been higher. It's definitely been higher. But this is, if you look at... An alternative calculation, which smooths
it out.
It's
usually higher when there's growth.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. Now there's just exuberance over, you know, there's a lot of retail coming in, as we talked about. There is exuberance over just, I mean, today we saw, for example, a pretty ugly consumer confidence number, much lower than anticipated. And we're going right into holiday shopping season.
Yes, this can't be good for the retailers.
Well, the retailers didn't seem to mind. The retailers did fine today. Tiffany's actually blew out numbers pretty, very impressively. They beat the estimates by, just crushed the estimates for what their earnings were going to be. And the stock was up about 8.5%. Now, this has been dropping and coming in a little bit lately. But, man, the analysts got that wrong miserably.
Hmm.
But using an alternative calculation, let's get back to the P.E., we're now in the, if you look at the Shiller PE, the PE10, we're now in the 90th percentile of all PEs historically. In the top 90th.
Wow.
So I don't know.
That's about as bogus as you can get.
Thank you. So you're pretty much, let's see this. 1, 2, three topics that I brought up, and one, two,
no,
three.
I'm saying it's bogus that the PE is that high.
No, yeah.
That it's a topic of conversation.
I was feeling very, you know, unloved.
A little sensitive there.
Yeah, please. I got to.
Hanging out with some low self-esteem folks.
Anyway, from I'm Worthless, let me go on and tell you some more. No, but really, that is a interesting thing. I mean, that we are in such a high level, considering the fact, like you mentioned, that growth is so benign and that there really isn't any significant amount. I mean, the excitement over retail sales popping by 0.1%. You know, in other countries, you have 5. China, you've seen like 15% period over period and some crazy numbers. And we're excited of a 0.1.
Yeah.
And that's just nuts.
Well, someday the Chinese will be excited about that too, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Their day will come. But earnings season is pretty much drawing to a close. We had HP come out with earnings. Hewlett Packard come out with earnings after the close today. And they had a beat. They actually beat on revenues and they beat on EPS. The numbers were lower than before. In other words, sales have been continuing to slow, but they did beat estimates. So the stock was up about 4.5% after the close. And then there was the conference call. And during the conference call, Meg Whitman has blamed the economy for an uneven amount of sales and the difficulty they're having because there's pockets of areas, with governmental in the U.S. and some other areas that are really soft. So they're kind of crying the blues about there's all sorts of issues. Now, where the stock closed after the after hours is right at the resistance point.
Nice.
Now we'll see what happens tomorrow when this opens. You know, we've seen both sides of things. We've seen stocks that have just vaulted higher because everybody's just wanting to get in, shorts covering, et cetera. You know, this could happen with this stock, and it's been up from, I guess, about 21, 22 to where it is now, which is a pretty significant move in the last several months. What else do we got?
Well, you've got a couple of things on this list that are kind of interesting. This electronic cigarette guys, they're going to have talk at the airports into having zones for those stupid things.
Why do they need zones? I don't understand.
I know. That's a good question. Why do they need zones? The stuff has nothing coming off of water vapor.
Right. But this is what? In London's Heathrow, they're going to have a vaping zone? Vaping zone?
Maybe it's just so people can socialize. It's like a bar.
Hey, I come here to inhale this nicotine kind of smoke thing.
Some of these things have been blowing up. There's some news reports of one of these vaping devices. People leave it in their charger in their car, and one of them blew up in the car.
Really?
Fired like a rocket into the back seat and caught the car on fire.
Well, there you go. That looks like fun. There's an alternative use for it, at least.
Small rocketry.
Yeah. This is going to be a 322 square feet. That's not a small thing inside of an airport, right?
An indoor 30 by 10?
Yeah, that's not too small. It's not going to be smoke-filled. You ever see those rooms where you walk by and they have the smoke?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The glass is, like, covered with this coated smoke.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, horrible looking.
Well, this is going to have the first
cigarettes. You just go in there.
Right, you just go. Exactly. So they're going to have this thing open today. It opened up today or yesterday in the International Departure Lounge. Now, I wonder if... Now, if it's just what that is, why can't you smoke it on a plane?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Vape it on a plane.
I think the thing's idiotic to begin with.
I don't really understand. I saw some guy smoking, like, he had a fancy one the other day. It was like this.
Yeah, there's some fancy ones coming out.
Very fancy.
And you can smoke marijuana in those things.
And nobody would know?
That's what the story is.
We may have to do some research on this, John.
A lot of stores are opening that just specialize in selling these things.
Yep, I've seen them, and it's some of the big boys are actually buying up some of the smaller companies. So I don't know if anybody that listens has done any research, looked into this. This is like one of these new things. It's kind of one of these edgy items that I don't know what the long term potential is from it because I mean you're still getting the same amount of nicotine, right? I mean, it's not like you're not smoking. You're still smoking. You're just doing it in a way that isn't supposedly troubling to people around you.
Yeah.
You can't get secondhand steam from it, right?
No.
Yeah, so.
You don't get, what's missing is the tar.
The tar.
Yeah.
And that's good. People like the tar.
No, they don't like the tar.
Well, that's good then.
They just like the nicotine. So you get the nicotine buzz, but you don't get a bunch of tar in your lungs.
Is tar really tar?
Well, it's gooey stuff that is like, it looks like tar.
Yeah.
I mean, what's tar? Ask yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what tar is?
I guess burning tobacco leaves gives you a type of tar.
Yeah, it's a gobagoo.
All right, so now here's a couple of things. Google is opening up showrooms in 6 U.S. cities. As a matter of fact, out by you, they opened a Barge, which is going to be.
Have they opened the Barge yet?
Well, I think they're opening it very soon.
I know of. I know the Barge is out there, and everyone was wondering what the Barge is for a while. And then somebody said, hey, it's going to be a store. And it was, oh, Google's genius. That's the most genius idea. They're going to, why do what Apple did? Just open a Barge store.
Let's see what's going to open. 11 things you should know about those mysterious Google Barges. I thought there was only one. It's more than one?
I guess so.
So this Barge is going to be, let's see, 11 things. They counted 11 things you should know. What happened? Okay, so it says the Barge is 250 feet long, 72 feet wide, 16 feet deep, and was built by whoever it is. It's constructed of 40-foot interchangeable shipping containers. Oh, this is not interesting. Now, it's not going to be a data center, which makes a lot of sense, it not being a data center. That would be kind of ugly in a storm.
It always seems stupid that as a data center. People say, oh, no, it's going to be a data center. I said, how's it going to be a data center? What are they going to do, haul out to the middle of the Atlantic and then send down some probes and hook into a cable? It's impossible. No, no, that's what it's going to be. It's a great idea.
There's going to be a party deck for the glass retail. The sleek showrooms will float from city to city. There are going to be 3 barges, 2 in San Francisco and 1 in Portland. Plans are calling for 4 barges altogether. And they give you
Why do we need 2 in San Francisco?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, the Hangar 3 on Treasure Island is a man-made island, and it's going to be there. So what do you think of the purpose of this? You're going to do Google Glass? I don't know. We'll see. You know, if nothing else, it's a good idea that they had from a PR standpoint, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was actually one of their better stunts.
I'm trying to see when they're going to open here. I don't... Yeah, they hired this guy, that guy. I guess they're not done. But anyway, these 6 stores they're going to have, they're not going to be open in time for the holiday?
Well, I mean, who says? I mean, they still have a month and a half.
Well, that's to get right up. I mean, you know, you always want to be ahead of it, right?
Yeah, they should open by December 1st to do it right.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going
to... Actually, they should be open this Friday. That would be Black Friday. That's when you do all your business.
Right. No, and then that's it. It's all over. So we'll see what happens with this, but there's going to be these things. And if anybody goes to these or anybody knows any information, I'd like to know more about it just for the heck of it. I mean, you know, they're obviously trying to compete with the Apple stores that everybody seems to want to do all the time. It's pretty amazing that this whole Barge thing. How do you even get to it? Is it going to be like docked there, I guess, and you got to go to this island?
Yeah, walk on. They'll have a little gang plank, and you walk onto the barge.
Well, how do you get to the island?
There's an exit off the bridge.
Oh, it's right there, and you just go right. Oh, okay.
It's easy.
All right, so Yahoo. Now, do you ever watch Yahoo? Anything like videos or television or whatever they have going on? Because it seems that.
Rarely. Once in a while, I'll check something out, and it's usually just a cheap production.
They're bringing on Katie Couric.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to wonder how they're going to pull this off.
I mean,
because she's used to broadcast standards. People don't realize that doing broadcasting is not the same as print media and everything else. When you bring stuff up to broadcast standards, no matter what kind of new gear you've got, it's expensive.
Right.
Google is cheap. I'm sorry, Yahoo.
Yeah.
No, Google's cheap too. But Yahoo is really cheap. And every time they've tried to do this, it always has a cheap look to it. And I don't think she's going to put up with that.
I think it's possible that the current CEO is enamored with Katie Couric and can buy her to do this deal. It seems to me...
Definitely.
Yeah. It seems to me that going from... Trying to make new content to compete with the majors out there is just a stupid idea.
Well, if she had done her homework, and I hate using that phrase, she would have known that the CEO that came a couple before her, Terry Semel, who was running Yahoo, he tried to turn it into a Hollywood property. It's going to be all content and movies and TV shows and blah, blah, blah. And he couldn't get anywhere. And again, it was a, they ran into this cheap thing. They couldn't quite figure out how, you know, they wanted to do everything on the cheap. Even with Semel running it, I don't understand what they're, how this is ever going to, no. Yeah, this is not going to, this is, a, she is a, obviously a celebrity jock sniffer.
Ooh.
Marissa.
Wow.
And this is what she's doing.
A celebrity jock sniffer. That's,
yes.
Wow.
It's an old term.
That's not like on her business cards or anything, is it? You know, CJ, N? What are, just, nobody's.
It's funny to get some business cards made with that on it and then slip them into her pack.
Oh, boy. We're bad. We're bad. Okay, so a couple of new things. Do we care? But I think we should talk about this whole Bitcoin thing.
Okay.
Now, last time we talked, Bitcoin
was... I know
was,
you're preoccupied with it.
I'm just... It's unbelievable. It's last... Let's see. Where is it now? $969 per Bitcoin. Is up 16%. What is it up now? Let's see. It's up 91% in the last 7 days. 91% for a currency. Now, of course, Richard Branson said that he will start accepting Bitcoin for the Galaxy One flights.
Might as well.
Yep. And
that thing's never going to get off the ground. Once they look at the insurance policies for that whole thing, forget it.
Well, they'll pay your life, your beneficiaries in bitcoins too. Then,
yeah.
But this is quite unbelievable. Over the last couple of weeks, this is really. I think when we looked at it, it was like 475. That was 2 weeks ago, and now it's at six whatever, and going up 968. I mean, that's pretty absurd, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And people, I have heard murmurs coming from people that have no idea what it is, because most people don't. Even people that do know what it is, I don't think know what it is that they're buying it and they're all excited about it. So I thought
that... Yeah, because they're all going to get rich. This is, I've said this on the No Agenda show. This is the Beanie Babies phenomenon that took place just before the market crash of the year 99-2000.
Now, would you ever... For actual labor or for payment, for true labor like payment, would you ever take Bitcoin?
Well, it's viable, I would. Well, as long as I know I could turn it back over into something tangible.
And the interesting thing is you could actually use partial payments, like, you know, a tenth or a hundredth of a Bitcoin. You could actually, they're like...
Yeah, I know. That's what they brag about that.
Well,
well, same thing with a dollar. You can use a partial dollar.
Right, exactly. So I thought just for the... stupidity of it, we'd put a little Bitcoin begging cup on our website. What do you think?
All right, let's do it. We'll take a Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to be involved. I want to feel like, you know, this whole Bitcoin thing. So we'll have, in the next several days, we'll have for the holiday, and if you've ever felt just compelled to want to give us, but dollars were just out of the question for whatever reason, we'll accept Bitcoins. We're going to put it on the site, and you can kind of just... we'll see if we can get a little sound that comes up when you give it. Who knows? But you can donate. Yeah, you donate a Bitcoin. Half, a whole, a tenth.
Ah, whole Bitcoin would be the best.
Yeah, that'd be great. You can't hold these things, right? You can't, like, put them, you can't collect them, though, and put them
in, like, a book. Once you have the number in your ledger, you can hold it for as long as you want.
Hmm. And there's all these different services. They're all popping up all over the place. It's very interesting. And I've seen more and more places. I was just on a site today you know, something I've seen and used and paid for, and now they're accepting Bitcoin.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is obviously that if you utilize Bitcoin for a service, let's say, and you decide just to keep it and bank it, right? Just keep, you know, let it roll and let it, and then this thing, it goes up, that's great, but it goes down and crashes, you're in big trouble. I mean, what are you going to do? And how
you're only in big trouble if you're really heavily into Bitcoins.
Right.
And who is?
I don't know. There's obviously somebody. I saw, you know, there was like...
Well, Adam's got like 65 of them, and I think, and my advice is to sell them when they hit 10,000.
10,000.
Yeah.
Wow. When is that going to happen? I mean, you know.
Just before the crash of the market, I guess.
Well, what's interesting is that now there's all sorts of technical analysis sites that have Bitcoin charts with all sorts of trend lines and Fibonacci retracements and different oscillators. And I'm thinking, are they kidding? You can't do any kind of technical analysis on this. There's no particular rhyme or reason why this thing is moving. And when it moves up this kind of numbers, where this is the equivalent, you know, of way back when of the you know, back in 2000 when these stocks were going up, what, $20, $30, $50 at a clip. There's no way you could track this stuff and figure out what's going on. And if you do, I think you're fooling yourself.
You really think so?
Yeah, I do think so. I really do. I do. I do. You want to talk about sex or banks?
This is the biggest joke ever, this Bitcoin thing. Anyway, go on.
I said, you want to talk about sex or banks?
Sex or banks?
Yeah.
Is there any way of talking about both at the same time?
Well, it's obviously you can talk about sex for money, and it kind of gives you both sides.
Well, let's talk about what's the sex thing.
Well, here's what I found. I thought this was very interesting, that there's a recent article out that said that people in the United Kingdom are having sex into their 70s. And then but the problem is the average frequency for men and women of all ages has declined over the last decade. So there was a survey done on sexual attitudes and lifestyles, economic problems, unemployment, and the increase in use of technology. The increase in the use of technology have had negative effects on libido. And they said that while people think that sex is more widely available with more explicit television, film, or social networks, people aren't having any more sex than they did a decade ago. Very sad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And the frequency of sex among men and women of ages 16 to 44 has fallen over the last decade from the average of 6.2 and 6.3 times a month, respectively, to just under 5 times for both. A month.
Who knew?
So I was wondering, what countries have people, population with the most sex? I'm sure you were curious about that.
Well, I was until I saw the list. So now I know, and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's, for one thing, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is the top 10 list.
The top 10, yeah.
So the number one on the list, I would not have guessed, but it's Greece.
Yeah.
So that means 87% of the Greeks are having sex at least once a week. We're not even – the United States isn't even in the top 10.
No, we work too much.
So Brazil comes in number two.
That I could have gone with, right? I mean, you know, you think about –
Yeah, you can kind of guess mm-hmm. that.
Not the next
but
one.
But Russia?
No, not the next one, no. And China.
I thought they're too drunk to have sex once a week.
It's too cold. Yeah, all that. What else was an odd one that I thought? Mexico I thought was interesting. I mean, it's okay, fine. Spain. A lot of the Spanish-speaking countries on the top list, don't you think? Yeah, Brazil, Portuguese, I guess. Italy, Poland, Malaysia.
Well, don't forget China. They're right under Russia.
Yeah, they're having a good time.
Well, you know, you don't think of them as sexually active, but if you look at the population, you have to assume something's going on.
Well, is there any correlation to anything that you can see here? I mean, is it, what?
China's got a lot of people.
Okay. But still, all those people are having sex, which is good for, I guess, the Durex and these companies that are doing these particular studies. But is there any, I mean, you have a lot of, you have, let's say, Greece. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the 10 are in Europe. You have South America and Mexico, and then you have...
You think France would be on there, or, you know, even Germany?
No. Not France.
Poland, snobby. I mean, never thought of this as a wild and crazy place, but okay.
It's not the cold weather countries. I mean,
and
it's
why
not
is
that either.
Switzerland on this list?
I guess they have nothing to do besides eating raclette and skiing and sex. I guess those are the 3 things they do.
Yeah, that could be. And banking.
Right. But anyway, I thought it was very interesting that technology seemed to have dropped libido, which obviously, if you're very concerned about that, you probably should be shutting off the show at this point. And wondering what
you're trying to kill the show.
Yeah. You know, go find something else to do. It's a lot more fun than this, you know? And then report back to us, will you? All right, let's see what else we got here. I had a few other things I want to talk to you about. They're up here, down here. Oh, okay, this is interesting. I thought go to finance here. So, you know, we've been hearing about the problem in China. China has miraculously come out of their little slump that they were in for a while with better than expected manufacturing numbers until this month, actually. They ticked down on their market index, went to 50.2, just over the level of 50, which is the difference between expansion and contraction. And they were kind of moving a bit better above that for a while. Now they just came down again. But we also saw that the one-child policy is being questioned and actually going to be possibly liberated a bit. And we also saw that they made a big announcement that they're going to have one of the biggest economic expansion policies that has been seen in decades. But now, at the same time, we are still seeing a lot of problems when it comes to the housing market. It seems that between the years of 2005 and 2012, that property developers had failed to pay almost 3.8 trillion yuan, which is about $625 billion, in land taxes. Now, what's interesting about that is what's going to happen? Is China just going to let that go? And why are they not paying? Is it because of all the ghost cities, or is it because of some other reason?
Inquire. I don't know. I'm actually surprised that they're not doing what they do here. They just give the banks a pass. The banks, they foreclose on all these houses. They own blocks of places all over the place. They don't pay property tax on any of that stuff.
Yeah, so maybe that's what's happening. I mean, but, you know, how do you let the developers, now this is the developers, how do you let the developers continue to develop with knowing that there's been this tremendous failure to pay taxes? And we're talking about almost...
I think China screwed up, let's face it.
Yeah, well, that's no question about that. And I think what's really happening, we have the monkeys with the hear no evil, see no evil. And, you know, we want to believe the things that are coming out of there, even though we know there's some real big problems with the information that, you know, we see. But yet we react very strongly and very positively when we see the numbers coming out, even though we all realize it's a big game that's going on. You know, it's a big, you know what, let's keep the confidence going, let's keep the whole momentum going, and, you know, until the thing busts down, and then we'll kind of take our chips and go home.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Now, one of the things that's also happening is that banks possibly there's been some talk, at least, what's happening in Europe and the conversation about the negative deposit rates. If that does, in fact, happen, if the Federal Reserve cuts back on interest rates paid on banks' reserves because they pay them, they're saying that they may pass on the cost to depositors and actually charge you. I mean, essentially, they're giving you nothing now, but charge you to have a savings account with them. So, like, maybe a negative 0.1%. So, in other words, you pay 0.1% to the bank for the pleasure of keeping your money there.
Yeah, I just use the mattress.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to
do so. The mattress doesn't charge me anything.
No. But this is all the same attempt to try to make sure that there is a continuation of money pushed into the system. Because if you go and you don't have, if the Federal Reserve or the ECB doesn't have any money paid, or they charge banks to keep money there, what happens is that their idea is that they will push money into the system and into more risky assets. And one of the problems you're seeing right now, and this is really a big problem, and anybody that's going to scoff at this and say, oh, you're just, you know, looking at negative things, there is a misallocation of assets that is happening right now that is extraordinary. The people that should have had money in savings, CDs, bonds, are pushing it into all sorts of risk assets, and that's really a bad situation. You know, you have an older person who is looking to just collect interest on their money, and they have, yeah, you know, they for many, many years they had money in their bank accounts, and they were living fine. Now when they went from 5% to a less than a 1% rate, well, how do they live? Well, they can't, so they have to put money into stocks that have higher yield, or maybe into bonds that have higher yield, and much outside of what was quote-unquote appropriate for them.
Right. Yeah, they could get wiped out.
That's a big problem.
Like a lot of these things, a lot of people got wiped out during the 99-2000 crash.
Yeah. Well, because
they got wiped out.
Right, because the continued race and the move to chase yield has always been the downfall of the fixed income markets. You had this situation in the 80s as well, where there was a late 80s, where there was a tremendous move to get better yield, and people were kind of buying things they shouldn't have, and then the bond market just went kaplooey. And this was also in long-term capital management, and people were in things that they should not have been in. They lost a tremendous amount of money, and they had no choice but to stay in it, because basically what happened was that they couldn't do anything with that. I mean, they couldn't, there's nothing they could do. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Indeed.
Yep. And then the other thing that I would like to bring up before we get to some of the stocks is that, we went through the crisis of mortgages, right? We went through that whole process where there was this big issue of obviously people that were underwater, couldn't pay, the house was, had to be refinanced if they could. If they couldn't, it was repossessed and, all the stuff that went on. Then we had the commercial property problem that got pushed through. Don't forget, a lot of that was offset by several different initiatives by the government to maintain and allow people to stay in their homes, right?
Right. Well,
now one of the things that's coming up is that we're seeing an increase in missed payments by people who have home equity lines of credit that were taken out during the housing bubble. That what's happened is that over that time, interest rates have gone down. So people that maybe couldn't pay, let's take a number, 5% interest on the home equity line of credit, okay, they paid it for a while, then interest rates went down. Maybe they got some kind of relief of some sort. Interest rates continued to go down. Now they're down to a point they can't really get any lower. Now what happens is that if they don't have the money, there's no more relief possible. The good news is that they may have a much better loan to value calculation, where their housing, right now, as we saw the Case-Shiller number, up 13% year over year today. So they may be in a better place. But a lot of people are hitting their 10-year anniversaries, and it's usually that time that they need to start paying down the loans, as well as the interest they had been paying all along. So there's about $221 billion of these loans outstanding. And about 40% of the home equity lines of credit are now outstanding. In other words, there's potential late problems on it. Mm. So there you go. All the news. We got sex.
Well, that's pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah, we got sex. We got tobacco, and we have bitcoins, alternative currencies. I mean, we have a jock sniffing fellow.
Celebrity jock sniffer.
Mm. Mm-mm. You don't get much better than this. You really don't. Where do you get this kind of entertainment for this little Bitcoin?
Yeah. Send us a Bitcoin. So here is our stocks. We're looking at them. Let me go through a couple of them. We're going to go. They're unlisted. You can click on the DH Unplugged website, and there's a little link straight to these things, which are on a Google spreadsheet, and we just do this as a game. This is not meant to be advice for investing.
Correct.
And I think the most interesting one is the one from 171, which is the oldest one still on the chart, on the list, which is the Corn Fund, which you shorted in January.
Yep. And here's what happened, by the way. This is really fascinating. I don't get it. The EPA last week, don't forget, the big issue was ethanol. And the more ethanol that's used in fuels, the more the potential for the price of corn to go up, because you have a shortage, and the droughts that they had and all that. And we saw corn at whatever, nine bucks a bushel or whatever it was. Now, just last week, the EPA comes out with their recommendation to lower the amount of ethanol in fuels. This is when corn prices have come all the way down. These guys are idiots. Now, that's where you're going to see further demand on oil if it passes, and you're going to see the continuation of corn moving lower because there's not as much of a demand and because there was a better harvest. But kind of, I don't get the EPA doing that. I just, unless it's something to do with maybe how it's bad for engines or whatever, but I don't really get it.
Well, they find that the after 10% is bad for some engines. You can do 10% without having a problem. And I was watching somebody on C-SPAN, and they were going on about how the corn situation is out of control, and they had to rein it back because we're making too much oil and the fracking and the this and the that, and the corn guys are getting burned, and they're putting too many plants in, and they're moving out fallow land and planting corn, or planting corn where you shouldn't be growing corn, and there's a glut on the market of the alcohol and all the rest. So I think it's all, it's a mess. This is what happens when the government meddles.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. And it's really pretty sad. I mean, it's up 31%, and that's pretty sad. That's after corn started coming down already. And it was a 31% profit on a corn ETF. McGraw-Hill up 58%. We had a couple of things, by the way, we had a couple of things that were stopped out. I put them on the bottom there. We got the Pep Boys. That was never meant to be, it seems. Pep Boys short was stopped out. EV Energy Partners was stopped out. But we are, Philip Morris is still up. Freeport is still cranking away pretty well, 25% up. Worldwide Wrestling, just fantastic, up 45%. It's beautiful. The Cliffs and the, and actually the Cliffs was up a bit more. I have to see if that stopped out. I don't think it did, but Cliffs and, U.S. Steel, I mean, really, nice move off the bottom. That was pretty impressive, that move that they had. And there really wasn't anything more than the fact that these companies are not, at least at the time being, going out of business. So that's kind of good to see. Let's see what else we had here.
Wasn't I the one who picked Facebook?
No. Sorry. Sorry. Well, if you want to, you can. I said one time I'm going to go short Facebook. Oh, boy. Up 11%. You picked Twitter. Twitter's down below.
Yeah.
You'll be okay with Twitter. I mean, Twitter had a nice day today, but generally speaking, Twitter's been really under a lot of pressure, much, much greater than I would have anticipated. Went up and just never moved from there. But the interesting thing about the Facebook and Twitter and a few of these other companies and Tesla, they're really smacking some of these momentum names pretty hard lately. We've seen several days where they have been down, you know, 5-7%. Twitter's been getting its butt kicked. And these momentum names, kind of the ones that really were doing incredible, besides Netflix, which just keeps going up, and Google, which just seems to keep going up, you know, it's pretty impressive how these things just all of a sudden fell pretty sharply with the markets moving the other direction. One of the things that's been really, really strong has been biotech. Wow. Between some mergers and just off the charts.
Huh.
You know, Biogen was up 13% on a drug approval last week. I mean, another one, Centaurus, was bought out for 35% profit. I mean, their charts are amazing. Although Vertex actually came down, I guess. But pretty impressive. You have any picks for this week?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, what do you got?
I have another one of my fabulous insider guys are buying like crazy.
Oh.
The symbol is ALCO.
Alco.
And the company is Alico.
Isn't that the aluminum company, right?
It's not the aluminum company.
It's not the aluminum company. ALCO.
And you look at the chart. It's quite kind of interesting. It looks as though we have a bottom that is going to could rifle back up to the 48 or something along those lines.
So, this is a land management company. I know these guys. Actually, this is on the West Coast, I think, of Florida.
No, it's not a land management company. It's consumer goods, farm products.
It says it's a land management company operated in Central and Southwest Florida. It has agribusiness pursuits, which include citrus production, sugarcane production, and cattle ranching. Non-agriculture includes...
What symbol are you looking up?
ALCO. Alico. They're located in Fort Myers. Yeah, this is definitely seen these guys. They're land. They do two segments, agricultural operations and non-agricultural. They have cattle ranching, forestry, land lease for recreational and oil exploration, utilize the same acreage in some instances. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of Alico Land Development and blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Chairman of the board is Henry Slack, Clayton Wilson, Phil Smith, Ken Smith. Let's see, it's in Fort Myers on Daniels Interstate. Yeah, because a lot of the stuff up there, when you go to Fort Myers, it says Alico. Actually, this is an Alico Parkway or something like that.
So it's one of those Florida play operations.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, let me take a look here.
Let's see. We have a Seeking Alpha article. It says Alico Management Payments.
Alico Management Payment smells like bad fruit.
Bad fruit. Office rate vacancy.
Just by the way, this will skyrocket now thanks to Seeking Alpha.
Yep. They're in competition, let's see, with Fresh Del Monte, Bungie, Chiquita Brands, Le Gaga Holdings. They're up a bit today. Yeah. Let's see the stat. Net's profit margin 11.5%, a little bit lighter than it was last year. Operating margin 19.34%, which is higher than last year. Return on average assets, 9%, a little light. At return on equity, 12.5%, coming down. 157 employees.
What?
157 employees.
It's a lean machine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going by the fact that two of the guys that are on the board are buying the stock like crazy. Hundreds of millions of dollars. So something's up.
Yep. Just hit a 20-day moving average just today. It's under its 50-day moving average, but the 20-day looks like it's a little bit of resistance here. You know, you can't rely on just one number. It kind of follows the 20-day pretty well here, though. So we'll see. Okay, so let's take a look at that. There's going to be we got Alco. Anything else?
No, that's the only thing I thought was really interesting.
I'm going to buy a crazy one.
And I can see it on the list.
Yeah, there's a couple
of all things. Why don't you buy Green Mountain next?
We're short on Green Mountain, and actually it's doing very nicely. The stock went up 16 or 70% after the earnings, and I looked at the earnings up and down. I'm like, what the heck am I missing? I don't see a 17 or 16% move in this stock due to earnings. I just don't see it. Today it was down as low as 5%, Green Mountain, because they actually put out I think it was a negative commentary in terms of their outlook. And, you know, one of the big things is coffee prices that helped them out last period and a few other things. But they did beat. But this is how insane this market and some of these investors are right now, that they just see a beat and they just fold. And if they're short, they just, you know, let it run right up and keep on letting it run. Stock, since it ran up, has come down pretty nicely. The short has worked out very, very well. Crocs, on the other hand, which has been sitting at this $13, $14 range, there's been some murmurs in the aftermarket that there was some potential for a buyout. Now, you know what? Rumors are rumors. Will Deckers buy them? You know, will DSW put something in on them? Who knows? Or maybe even a bigger brand. But, you know, it would seem like
a Deckers. Yeah, it could be like LVMH.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be, you know, it could be Chipotle could buy them. You don't even know. It could be, you know, some big company out there. It could be Facebook could buy them. That's what's going to be. Facebook is going to buy them. But seriously, there's some buyout rumors floating around, and that could do a major lift if that sits around for a while, because the stock has a pretty good short interest. It's been sitting around this 13.5. It traded up about 7% or 6% in the after hours. So we'll take a little shot here. Probably buying it a little bit of high. When it, you know, if this rumor's pretty fresh, I would have liked to buy it the next day, but it's okay. We'll buy it here. Anything else? Any other biggies?
No, I don't see anything out there.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of potential for a letdown here, but who knows? I mean,
I'm waiting for a correction.
Yeah, you know, there hasn't.
I don't think
been...
it's going to be a crash. I think there's a correction due, though. I think right now it just looks like it's got to the 16,000 point. Maybe it'll go to 16,500. So it could really say, okay, now we can correct. So it could drop below 16,000 and rebound. But I think there's two people that owe me money.
Oh.
I made the bet. Remember when the market was floating around 8?
Yeah.
And everyone was, oh, it's going to go through the floor. I think this was in 2007, maybe.
2008.
And so I took two bets. The bet was, I bet it's $100. I bet $100 that would go to 16,000, which seemed impossible at the time, before it got to 6,000, because everyone was saying it was going to go to 6. It never got to 6,000. And so it went to 16 and it just broke it the other day. So there's two people out there. I know one of them listens to the show who owes me $100, even though, you know, these bets, they sometimes last forever, but it's still $100.
$100, and I think you should get your money.
Yeah,
it's only
yeah,
fair. It's only fair.
I'm emailing the other guy and see if he'll. I don't remember making that bet.
Oh boy, that's bad. Welching on a bet is no good.
Yeah,
you get no friends that way, nor will you get any bets in the future. By the way, but the interesting thing about the markets is there hasn't been a correction more than, I don't know, 5% in months. I mean, in months and months and months. And it seems like every time, even there's been a several times that the markets have been down significantly, you know, 1%, 1.5%, and these rise into the day and close, you know, somewhat mediocre on the downside. But we really haven't seen 2 days in a row to the downside of the S&P or the Dow for a while. We saw that twice last week, and then again, I think it was this week too. I think today was down, or maybe it was just slightly up. But there hasn't been a correction. That's not really healthy either. You don't want to see markets going straight up. It's just not right. It just doesn't work that way because as fast money.
That's always bad.
Yeah. Fast money will, you know, follow fast money the other way. So you want to have that move that kind of, you know, gracefully moves. You don't want 90 degree angles. You want 45 and kind of up and down all because you want people to digest and not everybody just chasing and running in. And then, you know, what happens then is everybody put their money in and there's no more money to be put in. So I think that, that there is a point that for a healthy correction to get valuations back to somewhat of normal levels. Because even when there's a 1% down day, I mean, some of these stocks are getting obliterated, you know, down 5, 8, 9% in a day just on a 1% move of the markets. But they keep on rising after that. It's like, okay, well, that happened. Let's go buy.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. If you have a great turducken recipe or if you have a frozen turducken you want to send to us, hey, that's great. We'll have the Bitcoin up very shortly just for the fun of it. If just give a little because we can talk about it at least. Don't you think, John?
Yeah, oh, I'm in such agreement with this. You have to have an account, I think, with the Bitcoin, one of these places to even take a Bitcoin. That's the problem.
Oh, we'll figure that out. Right now, Bitcoins are at 960. They were as high as nine during our discussion. 970. 970. Yeah. And by the way, what you see
sounds unstable. If you ask me,
if you watch the ticker go by, there's like little pieces, like 0.02 and 0.32. It's a small piece of this thing go by. There was a few at like 150 that went by. Those are pretty big trades.
Huh.
Yep. So anyway, with that, we will talk next week, and I look forward to it.
All right. Talk to you on Tuesday.
Okay.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.